This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady. George Allman is on assignment. He will be back next week, which I will happen to be gone next week.
Maybe you two are this. Have we ever seen you two in the same space at the same time?
Well, we were here last week.
Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah. Okay. You're not the same. Good morning, sir.
Beautiful morning out.
Good morning.
So it's starting to get daylight as we drive into the studio now.
That's
true. Was kind of surprised.
Yeah, me too.
So, because it was dark last week. I guess that's that whole
unfortunately
that
George
whole physics thing
isn't here to tell us how many minutes we have gained since the
savings
since the day started getting longer again.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Let's see, what do we have going on this weekend? Classes this weekend in San Diego. It's going to be Rose Care with Constance, and in Poway, it's going to be Building Healthy Soil with Tyler Trimble from, was it Backyard Treat?
Backyard Fruit San Diego.
Backyard Fruit San Diego. Both of those should be excellent classes if you're looking for something to do. Classes in San Diego start at 9 o'clock. Classes in Poway start at 9:30. If you were going to go to the class in San Diego, I would get there a little early to make sure that you can get a good parking space.
Or a parking space
at all, yes, as a matter of fact. Next weekend, the 21st, it's going to be Summer Color with Ryan in San Diego, and it's going to be Citrus Care with you and George.
I believe that to be correct.
I think that is the case, yeah. That's going to be
next weekend. That'll be fun for you guys, huh?
It should be fun, and we'll get back to it later, but we're expecting a citrus shipment next Friday.
Yeah, is that from the new supplier? Oh,
see.
Excellent. So you'll have a lot of stuff to choose from. 28th, the weekend of the 28th, both stores are going to be dark as far as classes are concerned for Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day, the 30th of May, both stores will be open our regular hours. So if you've got the weekend off and you're needing something to do, we can certainly
get that taken care of for you.
Moving on to Balboa Park for the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation, which I don't think has anything to do with the botanical garden, actually.
Oh, it doesn't?
I don't believe so.
Like that? I'd have to
double check with John, but I don't think it does. 14th and 15th, this weekend, 14th and 15th, it's a Geranium Society show and sale. And next weekend, the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd, it's the Plumeria Society's annual cutting sale. So if you're interested in getting into plumerias, and growing them from cuttings, that would be a great place to go and pick some up. Or if you want to get into plumerias and just want to get started with one that's already growing, we've started getting some in already.
Yes, we have, and we're expecting some cuttings. We have the plants, and we're expecting some
cuttings. Well, there were some cuttings floating around. I thought I saw a stack of them on your desk. So,
yeah, that's because outside my desk on the file cabinet.
Yeah.
On top of that file cabinet outside was too much in the way.
Oh, okay.
So someone put them on my desk for me. Well, it's very kind. So I moved them onto Montreal's desk.
Exactly. shuffle them around.
And don't they say plumeria cuttings move downhill or something like that?
Something like that.
They're easy to grow.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I've got a big one on my deck by the pool that I haven't killed in 15 years, and it blooms every year. I barely give it any water. It's amazing that it survives on.
Yeah, they're very low water.
Yeah, extremely low water use. But you have to have really good draining soil for them. They do
very good
not,
point.
They
yes.
do not like heavy soil at all. So if you live in an area like I do, where we have horrible soil, grow them in containers is the easiest way to do it. And they'll get big. Mine's probably 6 feet across.
Right.
In a squat 15-gallon container that's only about 2/3 full of soil. So, yeah.
As it moves lower and lower.
As it gets lower and lower. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So are the days of our lives.
Yeah.
Let's see. And at the San Diego Botanical Gardens, which is the old Quail Gardens up in Encinitas, they are in the middle of their World of Orchids exhibition, which goes on through June 7th. I think the best way to do that is to book your tickets online, because they do sell out. They if you go and you do not have a reservation for a ticket, you may not get in. So I would definitely take a look at that online. And then you were out at, was it you that went out to Barona?
I did.
Yeah. It was. You said it was in full bloom?
It was in full bloom 2 weeks ago.
We're talking about the Barona Rose Garden, which if you have not been out there, it really is. It's pretty spectacular, and it's completely hidden by the parking structure. You have to go through the parking, go around. You can't go through the parking structure.
Past it.
You have to go around the parking structure. But it's a beautiful garden. They do a really, really nice job.
And it doesn't look like much. It's between a couple of back streets at Barona, but it is filled with roses, and the pathway goes down the middle, and you have roses on both sides, and the parking structures on one side kind of screening you off from civilization, and there's big trees between the parking structure and the rose garden, mm-hmm. and the other side is open space.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice oasis, and it was warm, but my mom got out and she walked from one end of that rose garden to the other and back.
Yeah.
So the
beautiful.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful garden, and they grow the nicest looking David Austin roses that I have ever seen. I was not a huge David Austin fan, just because they tend to be kind of rangy and all over the place.
Not at Barona.
They're absolutely perfect, just beautiful plants. And the climbing roses that they had too, where they have a couple of pergolas,
all along
that are
the walkway.
just completely covered, really, really nice. So if you're looking for something to do on a weekend, take a trip out to Barona and check it out, because they do a very nice job of it. Oh, but do not take the kids. I think you have to be 18 to be on the property at Barona.
I don't know. I haven't tried to take anyone under 18, so I don't know. But it is right next to the daycare center.
Oh, I didn't know that. So,
yeah. On the backside. Now, I just received a text from George Allman.
Oh.
Remember him?
Yeah.
And he said, remind everybody that we have a plumeria class with Mike Atkinson coming up on the 18th of June in Poway, since we were talking about plumeria.
Oh, the plumeria cuttings, yeah.
Don't want to.
So if you want to get a cutting next weekend, you can come back. Excuse me. You could come back in a couple of weeks and learn how to grow them, or learn how not to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, one or the other.
It has been warm.
It has been.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's been hot this week, and I started watering a few days ago, because I remember from a couple of years ago, the avocado growers that ran their sprinklers the day before the 100 degrees had much better luck than the ones that waited till it showed up.
Yeah.
Prep your plants. Help them out.
Stay ahead of it.
Stay
ahead of it. Yeah. I went out and double-checked my sprinklers last night, and then I turned the hose on to fill the pool up and forgot about it until about 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And you hear the water running.
Yeah. Had to run out and shut it off. So
How high did it get?
Well, it was starting to spill over, but at least my pool guy won't be complaining to me that the pool is low.
Water. Not enough water
in it.
So. Yeah, no.
The filters there's plenty of water in it now. I can tell you that.
Let's hope there's not an earthquake to slosh it out now.
Well, that would actually probably be beneficial. We have had a spate of earthquakes in San Diego.
Yeah, somebody said
I haven't felt any of them.
But. I didn't either.
There was one in Palomar yesterday, right?
Yeah, there was one. Yesterday I was up in Palomar.
Yeah, so. I didn't feel it. Not anything, but.
No. Tuesday night, Melanie and I were members of the Zoological Society, so they do a member appreciation night at the wild animal park, the safari park. And so we went up there for it, and the event started at 5, so we went up a little bit early because we hadn't been there in 8 or 10 years, I think, something like that. And so we went up, and we were just walking around, and Melanie pointed out that the wild animal park is a great place to go where you can walk a tremendous amount and not see anything as far as animals
are
concerned.
I'm sure they love you saying that.
But I love the park.
Let's
put it on
the brochures.
It's beautiful, but they had changed. There was a lot of stuff that had changed since we were up there the last time. Obviously, the monorail was gone, but that was gone the last time we were there too. But down in Nairobi Village, where they had the nursery for all the newborn animals, that's all gone now. The buildings are there, but they've converted everything over to a bunch of snake enclosures with a bunch of different snakes. There's not the conifer forest that used to be out. You had to walk through the conifer forest to get to Condor Ridge. Most of the conifer, or a lot of the conifer forest, is gone now. And it's been redone into there's a Australian exhibit up that direction. There's the entrance to the Tiger Walk is up there, which they have a stand of, I don't know what kind of running bamboo it is, but it ran all over the place, and it's probably
seemed like a good idea.
And the combs are big; they're like 2-3 inch diameter combs. I don't know what bamboo it is, but it's pretty spectacular.
Is the Baja Garden still there?
The Baja Garden is still there.
Is it still impressive?
Oh yeah, yeah. And so is Condor Ridge. But where they used to have just a shade house for the bonsai collection and the epiphyllum collection, they moved the epiphyllum collection out into the display area. The forest area. So all the pots are hanging from trees and stuff like that. So it's not as sterile as it used to be, and the bonsai garden, which also used to be just a shade house, is now a full-on Japanese garden setting, and it's beautiful. It's really, really nice. They've done a very, very nice job with that. So there's another thing, if you're looking for something to get out and take a look at, I would highly recommend it.
Did you notice a weeping sequoia in the conifer forest while you were there?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
How'd it look?
Not very, not great. Okay. Kind of like ours.
Still alive.
I just don't think they get enough water. It's too dry. Let me put it, it's too dry for them to look
boofal.
Right.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
So if you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
J&W Lumber is local, family-owned, and has been serving San Diego homeowners and contractors for over 60 years. J&W is your source for backyard living projects. They have the largest selection in stock of wood and composite materials for a new deck, patio cover, fence, or siding. J&W provides the highest level of customer service in the industry. J&W Lumber, your resource for outdoor living. Shop where the contractors shop.
Only the best for you, J&W Lumber.
Would you like to know what your home would sell for today? Get a simple text message with your home's value by texting your address to 855-600-6000. You'll get no phone call, just a text. Jim Buttrell has the buyers. Simply text your address to 855-600-6000.
Is your smart speaker getting smart with you?
For the umpteenth time.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and Mark Mahady. George Allman is on assignment. If you would like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. I think we were done talking about the Wild Animal Park.
We could be.
I think so.
Talking about plumerias or... whatever you want.
Can we go back to water and heat and temperature and stuff?
Yeah, we got stuff again. Did I hear incorrectly? But I heard that there is moisture on the way in the weather.
It's going to cool down. I don't know.
It's going to cool down, but not necessarily going to rain.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
But we're going to have some onshore flow coming in later this week.
Temperature was supposed to drop quite a bit, I think.
Yes. We're going to supposed to go down below average again.
Okay. And I did see that, got the humidity on the coast coming up. They were predicting 89%. So that's getting pretty close to rain.
Yeah.
It's the relative humidity, and it just means there's more moisture in the air.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a very nice voice, David. Thank you. Could you use that for us more often?
No.
No.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I did go and soak all of my veggies night before last or evening when I got home, and citrus and stuff. Just in preparation.
Good
man. Oh, as a matter of fact, I watered my citrus last night too. My containers, my Washington navel has so much fruit set on it right now. It's not even funny.
I am glad you said that because that just reminds. Oh, go ahead and tell us how funny it is.
Well, it's in maybe a 20-inch diameter pot on my patio.
You said it's been there quite a while.
It's been there a long time, and it's maybe 3 feet in diameter. It has hundreds of oranges set on it right now,
and that's where it's supposed to be, right? It's not just because you haven't planted it yet.
Yeah,
no, it was intended to be there. Yeah, but I cannot believe how much fruit has set on it this year. I've never seen it set this much fruit before.
Must be doing a good job taking care of it.
No.
Or letting it be.
Well, yeah. No. Somebody must be taking good care of it.
No.
That would be no. him.
The stars must have. The planets have aligned.
Everything aligned for it to be okay.
Do you guys remember last week we had the call from, I don't remember his name, but he was concerned that his Satsuma mandarin had not set.
Yes.
It didn't have fruit on it. And I thought it was a little early. And guess what's happening at my house with my Satsuma mandarin right now?
It's not setting fruit?
No, it's leafing out. It's just now is its time.
Oh, see, mine's already leafed out.
Has it bloomed? See,
I don't remember.
I think it does a first flush, and now comes the bloom time.
That could...
Because there's a new flush of growth that has come out this week. And I was talking to my coworker, Mr. Allman, George, and his is coming out. He didn't see blossoms on it yet, so I might be a little premature.
Yeah, I don't think mine's bloomed yet.
Mine's putting out new growth right now.
Yeah, all my citrus has put out a ton of growth. And so not last weekend, the weekend before, I went through and sprayed it all with Captain Jack's.
Oh, okay.
Because the blooms weren't there.
Because the blooms weren't there, and because it's translaminar, I wanted to get an early start on it.
Do you mean it penetrates the leaf and penetrates the leaf
and protects it for a little bit?
Up to a month, I hear. Actually, this is getting to be the middle of May.
It's about time for
mid to late May is when the
bugs start coming out.
Asian citrus psyllid shows up. I'm sorry,
the leaf miner.
The citrus leaf miner.
Citrus leaf miner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So try to try to get ahead of that. Either set some traps so you can keep an eye out, and when you see the trap starting to fill up, spray. That's the time to spray. Yeah. Or you can do like I did and
just spray.
Just spray with the spinosad to stay ahead of it.
When
so
the
we'll
blossoms
see how,
are not there and the bees are not there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what I've seen? I've seen a number of cases come through the store in the past few weeks is a giant whitefly.
Really?
Is starting to come back. Yeah, mostly on hibiscus so far. Hibiscus. I mean, it does get on a lot of other lot of other stuff. Plumerias it used to infest plumerias fairly frequently, and
cannas
and bird of paradise, which always surprised me because bird of paradise is such a tough leathery plant. Leaf, it's not something that you would think of whitefly getting onto, but yeah, I've had a number of people who've come in asking about it.
When I think of giant whitefly, I'm reminded of, I don't know if you guys remember the hibiscus across the street from NTC, right out front of the laundry place where they would do the embroidery of your patches for the Navy. Do you know what I'm? Yeah. There was
Regatta Menswear on Lytton Street.
Yeah, it was right.
Yeah, it was right outside right across the street from the gate.
And the hibiscus out front of that place was always white.
Yeah,
always white. I don't remember that. Man,
whenever I think of
hibiscus whitefly,
I think of that plant. It's probably gone now.
It may very well
I
be.
I think it is. Yeah.
I just remember the thing I remember about it was the ideal control for it back then, which was probably close to 30 years ago, was pyrethrin and surfactant.
Yeah,
and we used to sell the. We used to sell the Master Nursery pyrethrin and the
spray made or whatever.
As a combination, and it worked very well. That was before some of the systemics that are out now,
right?
Which you can put on. You don't have to spray them, so you're not
soil
spraying
drenches,
them. You use it as a soil drench, so you're not spraying it on beneficial insects, and those will last up to a year.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I hadn't seen it not. Hadn't seen it for a long time, but man, back in the day, it was a mess.
It was
really bad.
It's like your hibiscus had a beard.
Yeah, that white waxy stuff that they would secrete would get
inches
long.
I think it's called ick. The white sticky icky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well that's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about. Fruit, talking about the citrus and the blooming, you and George had a debate about your plum trees.
It wasn't a debate. He texted me a picture of his beauty plum that was fully ripe, and he told me how good it was. And I sent him back a picture of my beauty plum that's still totally green and is probably a month or more away from being ripe. And I just don't think it's fair.
Well, that's because you live in two completely different areas.
Yeah. You think that might have something to
do
with it?
That might have something to do with it. Either that or what you think is a beauty plum is not a beauty plum.
Yeah, one of the
Well, that is possible.
That does happen.
It does have a beautiful tag on it. But I think you're right. I think he's in a much more temperate area in PQ there.
Well, that's the thing. It's, in fruit trees or anything, a lot of things, where you live makes a big difference. So just because somebody's is fruiting someplace else doesn't mean yours is not going to fruit.
We're not coming back to Satsuma mandarins again, are we?
We may.
Okay, but it was pretty stark, and he was a little boastful. He was a little prideful that his beauty plum was ready, and
yours was not.
Yes.
Yeah, but just think about when yours is.
And his will not be.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I think last year, last January or the fall before, I planted the beauty plum with two pluots around it.
It was
the pollinizer. And all three of them.
Have taken
actually,
off.
Yes. All three of them have a lot of fruit on them this year. They've grown really well. And then I added an elephant heart plum last year because it was my dad's favorite at the time. We used to have one at the house growing up. And that tree is long, long gone.
Right.
So I got one that hopefully, no fruit on it this year, but hopefully I'd get some fruit for him next year.
But it's doing well?
It's doing very well. Yeah, it's growing really, really well and putting out a ton of growth, and I keep pinching it back so it'll branch lower. more lower, and I'm sure I'll get fruit off of that next year as long as there's something to pollinate it. And today is my dad's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dad. Very happy birthday. I guarantee you he is not listening right now.
Well, I wouldn't be either if I wasn't here. So.
Exactly.
Is the elephant heart plum just a short-lived plum, or did you kill it?
Well, no. It was a I wasn't in charge back then. I was a kid growing up, but it was a mature tree when my first bought the property. Oh,
okay. I thought it was a plum that you had planted.
No.
I didn't realize it was your folks. Yeah. Okay.
So I have one I just planted
last year.
Was it last year or this year? No, it was this year from Bare Root. Okay. It's this year, and it's growing out a ton. And I put it with the other ones for pollination. But the one that I was talking about that is no longer in existence is one that my folks had growing up. And it was mature when they bought the property.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense then. Because I know something like red leaf plums.
They don't live all that long.
Right. Less than, or probably about 12 to 15. Mine, I had one in my front yard when I built the house, and I think it lasted about maybe 15 years.
Yes.
Something, 12, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, the elephant heart lasted longer than the purple leaf plum in the backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is about the purple leaf plums.
They grow so fast, and they develop a canopy so quickly that if you only get 10 years out of it or 15 years out of it, it's no big deal.
Yeah, no.
It's a circle of life sort of thing.
It's for a medium-sized tree, if you don't mind it being deciduous, it's a great tree for short-term.
And some of them produce really good red sour plums, which my
kids used to love to climb in the tree and pick the plums. Yeah. I couldn't stand them, but the kids loved them. I guess it's kind of like sour grass.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that whole thing started.
Farmer with a straw hat and overalls should have some straw or sour grass or something.
Some yellow oxalis.
Yes.
I remember, and it used to be everywhere when we were kids because you could go up wherever, whenever you were out and about in the neighborhood, it was growing you'd grab it and start chewing on it. I remember I saw some one time after I had gotten older and picked a piece of it and started chewing on it. I was like, good God.
Yeah, what are we thinking?
What was the allure of this nastiness?
The truth.
You could. You know, that's...
Maybe that was it. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. Bring some rain to San Diego.
Talk it into.
Although we're supposed to be set until 2045, as far as I heard.
We've got water,
really,
unless Lake Mead dries up, which it's trying.
Oh yes, but think of the stories we are going to learn from Lake Mead drying up.
Oh, that's what they're already talking about. Yeah.
Barrels filled with bodies and
people,
cement.
Or
imagine.
Things.
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar Goodman said he would not be surprised if a lot more showed up.
Well, that's what. Yeah.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. George had an interesting picture that he posted on the Facebook page for the for the show.
Those prehistoric creatures?
Yeah. Those ladybug larvae, I believe, were they not?
They were.
Oh, yeah. Those things are they're creepy looking.
They are, especially when you get a close-up picture like George had of them.
People bring them in all the time wondering what this awful pest is on their plant.
Yeah, but man, they will just mow through aphids.
And they eat many more than the adults do.
That's what I thought. I thought they ate a lot more than the adults.
And George's scientific data.
And that's on Facebook?
Yes.
It was on the
Wednesday Wisdom.
Wednesday Wisdom, it's on the show's Facebook page.
Okay, well, people ought to look it up because people will be confused by thinking it's a bad bug or a good bug. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Take a look at them because they are around.
They are.
They are around. You were going to say?
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say bad bugs, what you going to do? But Ed George said that the leaf that he found that those two larvae were on had many fewer aphids on the back of them. It was a nasturtium.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
and they will get coated with aphids.
Yes, they
but
will.
But the leaf right next to it had no ladybug larvae cleaning it, and it had many more aphids on it. So his scientific data said that the reason that one leaf had fewer is because the ladybug larvae had eaten them all.
That makes sense.
That would make sense. I went out to look at our butterfly garden at home the other day, and we've got a big tropical milkweed planted in it, and walked out, and the stems are pretty much yellow.
Oh, with aphids. Oh,
with aphids. I've never seen so many aphids on a plant in my life. It was completely covered with them. So I know that that's safe for the monarchs to come
That's
in.
Right. It tells you there's no pesticides.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are no pesticides.
Do you wash them off or do you just let them go?
I just let them go.
And I hear you. That's what I would do too.
I really don't do anything in the butterfly garden. Yeah. It's a big circular planter that's right outside, right off of the patio, and it's full of sage. And there were nasturtiums in it, and I've slowly been managing to get them out.
They can take over.
They really can. Man, they produce so much seed, it's not even funny.
Well, you see them all over, like San Clemente Canyon. It's like they just take off.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
My guess is they weren't initially planted there.
Probably not.
Well, I have some tropical milkweed volunteering in my yard that I'm sure washed down in one of the rains from one of my neighbors because I've never planted it.
Right.
Speaking of milkweed, we actually have. The growers have actually been able to keep ahead of the demand
for the tropical and the narrow leaf.
Yeah, and for those that are concerned about the tropical milkweed, the biggest objection to the tropical milkweed was that it can carry over that I think it's a bacteria that can carry over. But they said that the experts have said the way to get around that is in the fall is just cut it back.
Right.
And then it doesn't have the opportunity for the bacteria to build in population and to carry over through the winter. And it also eliminates the food source so that it shouldn't affect the migration.
Right.
There's a really interesting website it's from a butterfly conservatory in Texas, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they've written some very interesting articles about that whole thing, and recent too. It was like March of 2021. It's pretty current, but they had some very, very good information out there about monarchs and the migrations and what their feeding habits are and things like that. So one of the plants that I planted, I thought it was going to be...
Was it the National Butterfly Center in Texas? No, maybe not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll find out next week. One of the plants that I planted in the garden, which I thought was just going to be an annual, but it has turned out not to be, is the Salvia Spires. Blue Spires.
Okay.
I mean, that's a really, really nice plant.
It's a beautiful plant.
And the plant is nice. The flowers are incredible.
The foliage, yes.
Mystic Spires, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Well, there is a Mystic Spires.
Mystic Spires blue, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a fantastic plant. It's really, really
it's
nice.
It's funny because a lot of these things that they do I guess they'll call annuals. They'll winter over, and they can last for a while.
Yeah, well, we've had that one out there for, this must be its third year or fourth
year.
Oh,
the one out front?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there for a few years.
It doesn't look as good during winter as it does right now.
Correct. No, yes. None of them do.
I have one sitting in a 4-inch pot on the side of my garage right now, waiting to be planted somewhere. I've only had it for a month, and it's still alive.
It's still alive.
That's yes. A 4-inch pot.
That's pretty impressive.
In Hamul.
It's right next to my African blue basil, you know, because does such a good job of attracting bees. And I've kept that alive, too.
African blue. I was thinking of African blue basil. I have that at the house, and that thing is just a bee magnet.
It is incredible how many bees that will attract.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great,
it's a great perennial. I mean, it'll last 4 or 5 years, easy. The flavor of it's a little stronger than I think like large leaf basil
it
is.
But it tastes like basil to me. My taste buds aren't acute.
It's basil. Yeah, it tastes like basil.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a
and it gets big too. It gets like three feet across, four feet across.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, we had one for a long time out in the corner where we usually have a vegetable garden.
Bees to your yard.
Yeah, if you need pollinators, that's an excellent way to entice them into your yard. Yep. You'll have more bees than you know what to
do. And Carter's got pills. I said that to somebody the other day, and they had no idea what the heck I was talking about.
When my grandfather said that to me, I didn't understand it either, 50 years ago, but it's okay.
What were Carter's little pill?
I don't know. Well, we'll find out. Good gardening question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the other Wednesday wisdoms that George posted that I thought was really good was last week he posted one on green lace wings.
Okay.
And he had an outstanding picture of one.
Okay.
So if you wonder what green lace wings look like, take a look at our Facebook page and Wednesday Wisdom from last week, and you can see it.
Carter's little pills are stimulant laxatives.
Oh.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Whoever texted you.
I just looked it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I did not know
that. I didn't know that either.
Makes sense.
The history of Carter's little liver pills. Anyway, I just remembered the saying.
Yes. Growing up. Saying to me too.
Now we share.
Yes, I hadn't heard it in years, but.
We got a big order of citrus in this week too, I think, did we not?
We're expecting an even bigger one
next week. Yeah.
Yes.
So we're starting to get citrus
and fruit. Finally, we got in a large order, and it wasn't just citrus.
Anything?
But we did get satsumas.
Okay.
We got some loquats.
There were some
mangoes, a lot of mangoes, and I got failed graft mangoes. So they use the Manila mango seedling as rootstock for their grafts. And these are ones that they were grafting name varieties onto.
That didn't take.
So the plants are, these Manila mangoes are a year older than the ones we would normally be getting in the same size pot. So they're beginning to branch. They're really nice looking trees.
Okay.
And I've had one out at my house for over 10 years now. And I get fruit off it. It does really well. It's had a little bit of cold damage on occasion, but you could get damaged. Out in the sticks.
Well, didn't want to say that, but
it's a beautiful tree. When they get big, if you like a tropical looking tree for your yard, that's a great one to consider because they're really pretty trees.
Unfortunately, the squirrels and the rats get more of the mangoes that it produces than I do. But. And it's nice when it's in bloom and the new growth comes out. It's all bronzy, reddish.
Right.
It is a really nice little tree.
I can't even remember how many years ago it's been, but we were down on National Avenue down in Barrio Logan, and there was an enormous mango tree planted between these two little houses on National Avenue, and it was just
covered
with mangoes. Absolutely covered with them, and it was huge. It was a big tree. So it's like I said, it is a very pretty tree. I saw a video. I can't remember where it was, but there was somewhere where they were growing mangoes for fruit production, and they had prevented the flowers. Well, they couldn't have prevented them from being pollinated. Somehow they were growing seedless mangoes because all the fruit was wrapped.
There,
and he unwrapped one, picked it, unwrapped it, and cut it in half, and there was no seed in it. And he took like an ice cream scoop and scooped out the center.
That'd be really good.
They're doing
that with citrus now. They're keeping the bees away. So they're self-pollinated, so there's no seeds developing inside. So they're putting rows. They're just covering up the orchards with bee cloth. That very thin.
Just the screen.
Yeah.
Interesting. These were the fruit in this mango orchard. Each one was individually covered. So I don't know how they do that.
That's going to be a very expensive piece of fruit.
Yeah. Yes.
David is going to fight with the seed for a while.
And see.
Yeah.
But, well, are we about to?
I think we need to take a break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady. George Allman has got the weekend off. Let's see, we're going to go to the phones where Marie is waiting, if I can get the cursor to work. Here we go. Good morning, Marie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. I hope you are, too.
Yes. What can we do for you?
So I have a philodendron in an indoor setting in a small, it's about a 6-inch pot, maybe 7-inch pot, and the fronds are probably about 6 to 9 feet long, but I have them on the tower is like inside the pot to hold them up.
Okay.
And I think the poor baby needs to be transplanted, but I'm so afraid because with the new shoots being so, brittle and easy to break, I was thinking about maybe wrapping the whole thing in a towel in order to handle it, unless you guys have a better suggestion for me.
No, you could wrap it up. They're usually pretty tough. If you lose a little bit here or there, it should bounce back pretty quickly. If it's in a 6 or 7 inch pot, I would probably move it up to maybe at least an 8 or a 10 inch pot.
Yeah.
And a good general purpose potting soil. What I would normally recommend would be the EB Stone Edna's Best potting soil, would be fine. And then give it a shot of fertilizer after you repot it. I think you would be okay. They're pretty resilient.
I generally use the vitamin B for transplant shock.
That's fine. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's not a problem at all. That certainly is not going to hurt. But just bear in mind that's a vitamin and not a fertilizer. So it's not a food. It's a supplement. It's just like we can't live on multivitamins. We have to have food too. Same thing with the plants. They're going to need fertilizer as well.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All righty. Well, I will bear that in mind. Well, thank you. So you think a towel or like a sheet or something would work well?
An extra set of hands.
I would say, have
somebody help you with it.
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if you don't have anybody, use a towel.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
I'm glad you guys are back. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
We're glad to be back.
Yeah.
Can we talk citrus again for a minute?
Certainly.
I
might sneeze. So.
Okay. You go ahead and work on that.
You have a cough button next to you, just to let you know.
Hey now. Break into small groups and discuss. I've heard somewhere before.
So what's going on with citrus?
We're expecting a whole bunch of citrus next week. And we had alluded to it last week, and I did get confirmation of the order coming. I'm not sure exactly
how many things we're
getting, but there was one, the Shiranui.
Shiranui?
Yes.
That's a mandarin, I believe, is it not?
It's an extra large mandarin. It is an ugly mandarin. It kind of, I think, would look almost like a Sharpei. The Sharpei of mandarins.
I gotcha.
Real wrinkly?
Well,
yes. But I have one of its parents, the Pongkan, and the flavor on it is fantastic. And it's large, but the Pongkan still has seeds. Shiranui is seedless.
Oh, wow.
Or almost seedless.
Okay.
And so those are on there. And
it's like a Satsuma, sort of?
Kind
of,
like an extra.
An ugly Satsuma?
Oh, yeah.
Let's not call it ugly. I guess I did kind of, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, but it's okay.
I take it back.
No. It's okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're not going to hurt his feelings.
But when I did the last special order of citrus, I only got specialty varieties because I figured we'd be able to get normal things like Parent Washington Navel and Valencia and those things, which have been in short supply. So there should be quite a few of those on this order, and tangos and just all the regular... the regular things we have not been able to get.
I love it. Very good.
Me too. And I'm gonna have to get one of the Shiranuis.
Now, it's some of the weird stuff is going to be a little bit more expensive than your typical.
Well,
I mean,
actually, I think all this stuff.
I know everything's going up.
Everything's going up, and
it's gonna just kind of move into that same
vein. There's going to be some pomegranates. Oh, and he told me that I had ordered some Fuyu persimmons that showed on the list, but not to be available till June, and he thinks that they're ready now. I mean, we're in the middle of May.
So 2 weeks.
So these are going to be in those sleeve pots, and they'll probably be between, I don't know, 2 and 4 feet tall, fairly tall,
probably
little whips,
pretty,
and
again,
perfect,
not to get
perfect
into it, but probably pretty expensive because those are expensive, just as bare
those
roots.
Are.
Yeah.
Those are the persimmons are more than the rest, but
correct
the citrus itself. Probably in the $50-$60 range, but paying $5 or $6 for a piece of fruit in the store,
no kidding.
All you have to do is get 10 out of it, 10 pieces of fruit.
Well, that's the truth.
Well, that's what I tell people about blueberries. If you plant a blueberry bush, it'll probably pay for itself in one season with the amount of they produce so much fruit. It'll probably
agreed.
Pay for itself in one season.
Yeah.
If you keep it alive.
If you don't kill it.
Yeah.
And and a lot of that is just making sure that you water it.
I typically put it right next to all these other things I'm watering. I have 3 brand new blueberries that are still alive.
Well, very good.
Yeah. I've had them for 2 months now, I think. I'm kind of proud of myself.
I've almost killed mine a couple of times.
But
it's come back. I have to prune the... have to prune some of the dead stuff off of it.
Yeah, get rid of all the.
But I think mine's in too much shade though. I'm not getting a lot of flowers on it, so
okay.
Might need to move it out to a little bit more sun.
Mine are a little bit
where your Washington Navel is.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's on the other side of the patio. Yeah, I could do that.
And you could put it next to the pool for the extra water.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'd love that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that chlorine would work.
It
would do wonders for it.
Help it tremendously. So,
go ahead.
Anything in containers.
Water.
Water. It's supposed to be, close to 90 again today, warm to hot again tomorrow, and then cool off for the rest of the week. But we've been having customers come in that I saw a really drought-stressed citrus tree 2 days ago. The foliage was totally beginning to curl up, and you see the backs of the leaves, and it's a classic sign of them being drought-stressed. And this customer had taken the same care of it as he's done for the last 10 years.
Yeah,
but the basin hasn't grown. So the old saying of outrunning your coverage, the roots have outrun the water, which is in a very limited area.
Yeah, you
and
spread it out. And
during
containers, too, you got to soak them.
During cooler months and shorter days, it's not a big deal. But when it's 90 degrees.
Right. Soils warm up.
Got to give them some water.
Correct.
Yeah. Don't forget classes today, Rose Care with Constance in the San Diego store at 9 o'clock and Building Healthy Soil with Tyler Trimble from Backyard Fruit in Poway at 9:30. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady. We'll be back next week.
Have a great weekend,
With another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You did it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.